Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. If you've been listening already, you know what that means. That means you're a pretty smart person. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You have an opportunity to become a really smart person. We're glad you're here. I'm glad Norman Burke's here, too. Norman's a new friend, actually. He's not someone we've spoken to before. He's an STP Research and Development Associate. He has over 20 years of automotive engineering and engineering management experience with a number of different companies. And he spent just about his whole life studying the way automobiles work and how to make them work more efficiently. And he's our new friend. Norman, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you here, Norman. And your timing is perfect, obviously, with the way the gas prices are going. Now we have Hurricane Rita, who is about to create mayhem on the Texas coast in a couple of days and is running over the tops of some more of the Gulf platforms out there that's pumping oil. They're disrupting the supply. The last hurricane and this one is disrupting the supply of our petroleum. They're shutting down some of the refineries. There are an awful lot of refineries and chemical plants and other petroleum-based operations in the Houston area that are probably shutting down right now. This is going to create a upward pressure on prices, isn't it, Norman?
You would think so. I mean, those are all the ingredients to drive fuel prices higher, you know, reduce production, difficulty with supply of crude, and doesn't have a good look to it.
Are you old enough to remember the oil embargo and the gas shortages of the 70s, Norman?
Oh, yes, I am.
Are you?
I was a young man in those days. I remember waiting on lines and closing pumps and all of those things. Yeah.
This situation is different, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's. I don't know that we're going to get into that level of shortage like we did back in the 70s.
But that was basically something that was done to us, so to speak. In other words, that we had the oil embargo and the challenges that we had with OPEC and all those guys. This is different, isn't it? This is more of a market. Part of it's a market oriented thing. It's a supply and demand challenge, a production challenge. Too much demand for the supply and the production supply. And now we've got Mother Nature weighing into the equation, don't we?
Yes, we do. I mean, you hit the nail on the head about it. This is supply and demand driven, and I'm not so sure that there isn't a little, economic pressure put on that's moving these things, moving the price higher. But
right.
It's primarily a supply and demand issue, and unlike the embargo, which is more of a political issue, I guess. It doesn't look like we're going to go anywhere but higher, but who knows, where it's all going to bottom out in the long haul. At least in the short term is the only thing you can begin to predict.
What do you think about when prices go higher and they stay high for a while for gasoline, and the next thing you see, and this happens almost every time gasoline prices spike, within a week or two, or a month or so of all that happening, the gas companies, the oil companies, start reporting record profits. What do you think about all that, Norman?
Yeah, certainly a relationship there. There seems to be one of these things where, production prices come down. The supply and demand issue seems to be going in a downward spiral. But it takes a while for those stations, for the prices at the pump, to actually drop to those levels you would think would be dictated by supply.
They seem to go up immediately, and they seem to come down at their own leisure, don't they?
Nice and slowly. Yeah, that certainly seems to be the case. And That leads to higher profits. There's no doubt about it.
Do you think that there will be an inquiry? And I know this is, I'm wandering off of your expertise a little bit, but do you think that there will be some kind of an inquiry now that is this where Americans are feeling such pain at the pumps, businesses, consumers as well? Do you think that there may be some kind of an inquiry into whether there's any kind of price fixing or gouging going on?
I'm sure that there's a lot of, you know, fuel economies. Fuel pricing is besides being a real economic issue, it's also an emotional issue. People mm-hmm. tend to react to it quite quickly. So I think there's a number of watchdog groups looking at what's going on here and looking at how those prices rise and fall. And if there's, I'm not aware of any real indications of, you know, serious price fixing or anything like that. I think there's enough eyes on this issue that if there is...
If there is, they'll find it, won't they? Norman, hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back. When we do, Norman's going to help us save money in our cars, in our trucks, drive more efficiently. He's got some great ideas. We're going to talk about those right after these messages. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our new friend Norman Burke. He's a research associate with STP, and you've heard of that STP company. Norman, what do you guys do at STP?
Oh, we do a lot of research work on automobile engines and how our fuel and lubricant products can help improve the way they run.
Andy Granatelli.
Oh, boy.
I'll never forget his name.
Yep. He goes back a ways.
He's the founder, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was one of the ones that first made the brand famous. That was back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. I remember when the commercials, he was the face on that brand.
Yes, he was, with his Indy car.
That's right. Absolutely. Now, I know you guys have been doing some research, right? You've been doing some research on how to improve fuel economy. Why don't you talk to us about that?
Sure. You know, that's something we study in great detail is, you know, how an engine runs and how the it can be affected and improved with the use of fuel additives, what we call detergents in gasoline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've come to understand that, you know, all engines, as you run, will build up deposits in the fuel system on the fuel injectors, intake valves, piston tops, and those deposits can actually lead to a reduced fuel economy. And so one of the keys is, A, you know, never let those deposits build up to the point where they affect your fuel economy. Or if they do, you want to add a fuel additive, you know, like STP fuel injector cleaner or complete fuel system cleaner, that will remove those existing deposits and restore the fuel economy of your engine.
How often do we need to put that into our cars?
Okay. Well, we have a product we call STP gas treatment, which you want to use regularly, you know, every tank full.
But if I do that, I mean, look what that does to the cost of a gallon of a tank of gas.
Yep. What happens is
how is that economically feasible?
Yep. Well, what you can do is prevent those buildup of deposits, right? Which will impede your fuel economy. And certainly mm-hmm. have an impact on the way your car runs. Besides just saving gas, those deposits cause, you know, performance loss and things.
Yeah.
So using something like STP gas treatment will help to pay for itself just in the fuel economy, but also you avoid bigger problems and expensive repairs at a service station.
Right. Also, some of the things that you recommend, Norman, are just some of the habits that we have, driving habits. Talk to us about some things that we can do, how we buy gas, tire pressure, all those things that we can do to make sure that we get the maximum mileage out of the gallon of gas.
Yeah, you know, probably the biggest factor is driving habits. You know, there's studies that have shown you can affect your fuel economy by 30% by the way you drive. Now, if you do a lot of, you know, jackrabbit starts from a stoplight and jamming on the brakes.
But there's so much fun, those jackrabbit starts.
And you, well, Norman? Yeah, that's why we buy cars the way they are with big engines. And, but Yeah, you know, those kind of things really detract from your fuel economy. Now, in a perfect world, if you could be on the highway at a nice steady speed with cruise control on and staying, you know, well within the speed limit, you're going to get your optimum fuel economy there. But we know it's not a perfect world, and we can't always do that.
Right.
You want to try to get to that steady speed, you know, a steady, even speed without hard accelerations and decelerations. That has a big impact on fuel economy.
Yeah.
You know, we've already talked about deposits and how they affect fuel economy.
Mm-hmm.
Tire pressure is another important thing you can keep track of yourself. You know, I say at least monthly you want to check, you know, get yourself a good tire pressure gauge and get out there and check your tire pressure. Make sure that it's within close to what the manufacturer would recommend.
See, that's where in the old days when people pumped your gas, you got that kind of service, didn't you?
Yes.
While the gas was going in the car, they'd buzz around your car and check the gas pressure, check the oil. I mean, check the tire pressure and the oil and all that kind of stuff. And when you got ready, when you left, you paid a couple of extra cents a gallon for the gas, but your car was in tip top shape.
That's right.
Now you got to do all that yourself.
Yeah, you know the quick lubes tend to do that, but now you're talking every oil change, not
right.
Every time you get gas.
Right.
You know, cars have come a long way. They need less attention like that than they used to. But still things like tire pressure, you know, that hasn't changed a lot. If you want to
if your tire pressure is off by even 2 or 3 pounds per square inch, it can really affect the mileage, can it?
Absolutely. There's been studies shown that, you know, every 10 PSI in tire pressure will change your fuel economy, drop it by 1%.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty important stuff, and it's something you can, you know, that's within our control, much like driving habits, that we can do something about and stretch those dollars and gallons.
As we come into the winter, a lot of times people like to go out and crank the car up and let it run for a while and get the car warm before they get in it for their long drive. What do you think about that idea?
You know, I mean, to some extent, you do want to warm the car up.
But that's just wasting gasoline, isn't it?
Yeah. If you let it warm up too long, say more than 30 seconds or 45 seconds, yeah, you're wasting gas, creating quite a bit of pollution. You're better off just warming it up, you know, like 30 seconds or so, and driving it gently. You don't want to jam on the gas pedal, but if you can drive it gently and let it warm up the rest of the way, you'll get best fuel economy, and it's easiest on the engine, the
mm-hmm.
gas and everything in there, the head gasket and all. But it's really not necessary to let the engine warm up. Like in the old days, they used to say until the temperature needle started to move.
Right.
So that can take quite a bit of time, and you use a lot of gas and create a lot of pollution in the process.
Are there the research that you guys have done, is that available on a website anywhere?
Yes, it is. SPP.com has a lot of these fuel-saving tips we've talked about and a few others that we didn't hit on here, and you can find...
Which we're going to talk about after these messages. The main thing we're going to do when we come back, folks, is we're going to talk about what Norman thinks about the hybrid vehicles. Is there a hybrid vehicle in your future? Tintail, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingham, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, Norman Burke, soon to be old friend. Next time he joins us, he'll be an old friend. He's with the STP Research and Development Organization, and he's had a number of years, many years, in the automotive engineering and management business. And we're talking about how to make sure that you get the most for the mileage out of your car. Norman, what do you think about hybrid vehicles?
You know, hybrid vehicles are definitely fuel efficient, and they're a great new emerging technology.
Explain, just in case there's somebody who doesn't really know what that means, what does a hybrid vehicle mean?
Hybrid vehicle really comes down to that it's the hybrid part is between electric drive and a regular gasoline combustion engine drive.
Mm-hmm.
So the vehicle has essentially two separate powertrains or engines in it. One is an electric motor run from the batteries, and the other is a gasoline engine, you know, run off gasoline, much like the engine would be in a regular car.
So how do they work together in concert?
Yeah, there's all kinds of different strategies depending on which manufacturer, you know. Some of them, the engine is just used as a generator to create electricity, and all the driving to the wheels is done by the electric motor.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones, there's a sharing that goes on. like, you know, the electric motor will assist during acceleration or highway driving, okay? It will only assist, and the cars primarily run on the gasoline engine. But the electric's in there for just an assist. So there's all different strategies for how to, you know, when the electrical kicks in or when the gasoline power kicks in.
And so those are the kinds of questions you need to ask when you're buying one of these, when you're considering one of these, is what is the strategy, what is the logic of the two drivetrains? How do they work together?
Yeah, you know, that'll help you to take advantage.
Best?
That'll help you to take advantage. Well, I can't really say which is best. You know, they both have their attributes, and it's all in this how it's combined. But if you understand how the hybrid system works, it can help you in your driving habits to take better advantage of the electric power, you know, aspect of them.
But Americans like their big cars. We like our fast cars. We like those jackrabbit starts. We're not going to get that as much with a hybrid car, are we?
Well, you know, the first hybrid cars that came out were all about fuel economy, and they were, yeah.
They were dogs. They were dogs, weren't they?
Yeah, they didn't have the performance. They were more like an economy car.
Yeah.
Today, you're starting to get where they're putting almost a conventional, you know, V6 engine in the car with all its normal performance and adding an electric drive to it, so you get performance maybe above and beyond.
How long will it be before no car is sold just with gasoline power?
Oh, boy, I don't have that crystal ball. It isn't that well fine.
Come on, Norman, you can do it. Do it for me.
You know that. You know, I can talk a little bit about the impediments to it happening, and that is a lot about infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have so much infrastructure built in with gas stations.
It's a multi-tiered industry, isn't it?
Right. It's how you deliver that amount of energy on that many, you know, locations to distribute it from really is a major issue. You know, you don't have the electric infrastructure to do that, or even to switch fuel to hydrogen, say.
Right.
That's one of the biggest impediments. And if you think about what it would take to actually convert over to a no gasoline,
there would be a cultural change too. I mean, it wouldn't just be the infrastructure. There's a cultural issue here, isn't there?
It's enormous, the amount of momentum going against.
Yeah.
But you would think in the end, if supply and demand prevails, when the economics start to drive us in that direction.
$5 a gallon gas will knock a lot of those impediments down, though, won't it?
I would think it would.
Yeah. What about hydrogen? You mentioned hydrogen, and we've got about a minute. What do you think about hydrogen power?
Hydrogen, I know some of the automakers are very enthusiastic about it, and because it delivers almost pollution-free combustion, and you get really good efficiency with it. Some of the problems with hydrogen is it's, you know, a little dangerous to handle. It's hard to store in the car. You can't store quite as much energy as you could with gas.
Mm-hmm.
But and the infrastructure is probably the big issue going against it. That you got to change over all those gas stations.
Are we hydrogen. What are the chances that? What do you think in 10 years, 50% of the cars sold will be a hybrid type?
You know,
more than that.
If gasoline continues to rise in price, we're going to see changes in the status quo. Now, a lot of people say hybrid vehicles are simply a stepping stone to full-time electric vehicles powered by fuel cells, where you just add something like hydrogen or gasoline, and there's no combustion, you know, no internal combustion process involved.
We've probably got to wind up that in that direction one of these days, for sure. Norman, thank you for being here. Good job today. The website's stp.com, right?
That has all the fuel-saving tips we talked about.
We'll see you next time, Norman. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.